Hello and welcome to Just Another Review Cast. I'm Robert.
I'm Charlie. I am the same host, just going by a nickname now.
So, it's been a while since our last cast. Real life happened.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to get back on track with stuff and see if we can do this again.
Yeah. We do not do this for money, don't even include ads, or don't have a Patreon. So basically, we just do this for the fun of it. So one, real life just has to kind of take
precedence.
Yeah.
Okay. So we left off doing Sling Blade and possibly one other one. That kind of got trashed, so we're not going to be doing that anytime soon.
Yeah.
If we do.
Yeah.
Charlie wanted to get back into this because basically she wanted to do a review of the Wheel of Time series.
Yes, it was always kind of on the list once I realized it was going to be coming out soon, and so I definitely wanted to hit it up. It's just Wheel of Time came around before, you know, real life stuff really hit a pause. So
it came around or came after?
Came after.
Okay. So I've read 90% of the series as I was a teenager growing up. Basically, I kind of stopped at Path of Daggers and I haven't read that book or anything after it. Just for the simple fact of every time he comes out with a new book, it's been years and I have to go read back through the series just to re-familiarize myself with the storyline and all the different storylines going on. And he's a very, very long-winded author.
See, I know Robert Jordan passed away. Did he actually finish the series?
He had his last, from what I heard, I haven't did any research into it, but from what I understand, he had the manuscript partly completed, and they had his son finish it.
Okay.
Brian Sanderson. I think that was his name.
Okay.
I think so. I'm not sure. Don't quote me.
It's only for all the internet to hear. Don't quote me.
Yeah, I know. Or is that some other name? I can't remember. But he's just, his books are long, they're very detail-orientated, and doing some background research just now, literally before we started looking up main actors' names or main characters' names and everything, come to find out there's like 2,700 plus actually named characters in his series.
So basically like Game of Thrones, these people need to show up on screen with like a name tag on. Maybe introduce themselves with a whole background history, and it's hard to keep track of.
Unless
you watch the show like three or more times.
Well, even the book readers, I find it hard to keep track of it.
Okay.
It's like they mention characters like at book 7 or 8, and I'm like, oh, that was back in book 1, wasn't it? Book 2?
Yeah, I remember Game of Thrones. It's like when Gendry disappears and then he shows back up like 5 seasons later and it's like, who's this dude? Rewatch. Oh yeah.
But yeah, this is gonna end up being more of a rant for me because I am kind of a purist when it comes to stuff like books that I've personally read and they go into screen.
Yeah, that's why I'm gonna find this one so interesting, and he's getting so passionate about it. I love it.
Shut up. Okay, so Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series, Eye of the World, was his first book. Came out somewhere around 1990, I think. I'm not really sure. Like I said, I hadn't really looked into all that.
I actually did look into that one. He started working on the book in 1984, actually, but it didn't get published till 1990.
Ah, okay.
So,
yeah,
and the first book is called The Eye of the World.
Yeah.
So,
So 6 years for him to get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how long-winded it is.
Well, the one I've been working on off and on for more than a decade.
And how thick is it?
400 pages.
Yeah, long-winded.
And growing.
But yeah, I was really upset about some of the changes that Amazon made to their series of this.
And according to Twitter, you are not the only person that was upset about some aspects of it.
Yeah. So Amazon released the first three episodes of Wheel of Time on the 18th of November.
Yep. GMT. So, which is like
General Mountain Time.
Greenwich Mean Time.
Oh, they went GMT.
They went GMT.
Okay.
That's why we got it at 6 o'clock instead of midnight.
I thought you said
it was 7. Nope. We got, actually, I checked that on Amazon at 6 o'clock and it was already up.
Okay.
And that's when I texted you.
And how does that work? So, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So that's why we got it so early that it was Thursday for us instead of Friday.
Yeah. I understand that after I watched the first episode, I did some digging into why Amazon did a few things the way they did, or the producers.
Okay.
They're trying to go gender neutral with with a lot of aspects of the show.
And I like that. As someone who is like me, I like the fact that they are updating things and changing it. And they're far from the only show to do that. Just like The Last Man is now not exactly The Last Man,
mm-hmm.
because you have people who have transitioned that are technically trans man, but they still survived and whatnot. You have, like, Hannibal. Alan Bloom became Alana Bloom. So a lot of people are changing stuff like that up just to be more inclusive, and I gotta agree with that.
That's fine. Well, another aspect that they changed is that they aged the characters.
Okay, I didn't know that one.
Yep, they're all supposed to be teens.
Okay.
The reason why they aged them is so, because the target audience, they didn't want it to come off as another teen drama show.
Yeah, I understand that.
And they wanted to more or less go to the audience that kind of grew up with the books.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, like, Game of Thrones, they aged Daenerys to be in her 20s instead of being a 13-year-old. But look at what she had to do in their first episode.
Yeah.
And whatnot. So that's why they did it, and I appreciate that.
I'm sure our legal code also appreciates it.
Yes, yes. And that's another reason why. If they're going to have more adult themes in Wheel of Time, you need to have the characters be adults.
Mm-hmm. So, episode one is labeled Leave-Taking, which is also kind of the same thing in the book. They're kind of cut up in parts and chapters in those parts, but the first section is kind of like leave-taking.
Okay.
But during this first part, I'm already getting a little upset about it. Because Moraine, when you see her in the beginning, she's supposed to be a very petite woman.
Okay.
And always wearing a blue dress.
And again, this is where we differ. Why can't she wear pants?
That is her sick...
It's still blue.
No, her pants are not blue.
Her pants are blue.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter.
It's a darker blue, but it's blue. And she wears a long blue robe over
it. It's her signature. The blue dress is her signature in the books.
So what? Who cares? As long as the color is the same, why can't someone wear pants instead of a skirt?
That's fine, but I'm just saying that was her signature in the books.
Okay,
the blue dress.
And it's still all blue. Blue top, blue pants, blue robe.
I don't think that's a robe. It's more like a duster.
It's more like a robe because it flows very much more like a robe.
It seems more like a duster to me. Because the whole post-apocalyptic type of thing.
It seems more robe to me because the whole magic thing.
Mm. And I'm also a little upset about Lan because he was described as a very rough-hewn... what's the word? Hewn? A very rough character that's
okay.
Head and shoulders above most men.
Okay. So you would see someone more like Jason Momoa as...
Basically, yes.
Okay.
More battle-scarred, more... He was also described as stony-faced.
Stony-faced?
Stone-faced. No expression. Very little. A twitch of an eyebrow. It was described as shock.
Okay.
For him.
Okay, so you need an actor who is like as tall as Jason Momoa but can do micro expressions.
Basically.
Okay, got it.
But that's how he's described. He doesn't give away his emotions or anything. He follows his, as a CD, or however they pronounce it. This is how I pronounced it in the books.
I've read books like that where it's like, wait, I've been pronouncing this all wrong.
And it doesn't matter because I'm still going to stick with it because that's what I know. since he's her warder, he's absolutely devoted to her.
Yeah.
Okay, so we start off with the Red Sisters capturing and or gentling a man who can channel the true source.
Yeah.
I don't recall this in the book, in the beginning of this book. It was basically the whole dragon mount. They had the backstory of that.
Yeah.
And then it goes to Rand walking down the path.
Okay, well, that's a dead giveaway then.
With his dad.
If he happens to be the dragon.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I kind of figured. And
everyone knew in the beginning that it was going to be Rand, basically.
Yeah, they've given it away, but it looks like they're trying to hide it just a little bit. Oh, yeah, spoiler warning.
This whole thing's going to be nothing but spoilers, so...
Oh, great, give a spoiler, then do the spoiler warning. Yeah. We're great. Sorry about that.
And you were going to finish talking?
But basically, it feels like they're trying to hide the fact that that is who Rand is while dropping some hints of it by not having it be, you know, stated already, I guess.
Mm. But there's a lot of different things. Okay, so it makes it seem like the sisters or the Red Sisters killed the man who can channel in that scene, and they probably did because they have been known for that too. Because all Red Sisters in the books hate men, basically.
Okay, see, I got the idea that yes, they killed him. So,
but their mission is supposed to do. They're supposed to. Capture and shield the man who can wield the One Power and bring him back to the tower for gentling.
Okay, and you might want to explain what gentling is.
For the non-book readers?
Yes.
Gentling to the non-book readers means that they basically sever him from the true source, or the magic power.
Okay, because I come from an entire different universe.
Let me finish talking. Okay.
Sorry.
Interrupters. Okay, so when they sever them, they basically take it takes 13 sisters, all channeling in unison, they're all channeling together and to one sister basically, and she creates a permanent shield around the person, and that's how they sever them from the true source.
Okay. Because I come from a universe where the term gentling is a form of calming of one's mate and stuff like that. So, therefore...
Don't even think about that universe in this.
Yes, I know, but there's a lot of other people out there who read that universe, and so therefore you went just in case.
Nope. Nowhere near that.
Yeah, I know. That's why I asked you to explain what it meant.
Yeah. The reason why they hunt these men who can channel is because... The dragon basically challenged the Dark One and lost.
Yeah.
What happens, an ancient man drilled a hole into a power source, basically, that they should not have, and it released the Dark One, what they call. And the Dark One basically put a taint over the male half of the power. There's two halves of the power. There's the female half and the male half.
Okay.
The males cannot channel the female half, and vice versa.
Okay.
And this taint will eventually make the men go mad.
Ah.
Insane.
Okay.
And because of that, the dragon broke the world, literally cracked it.
Okay.
And everything was put up into upheaval.
Okay.
Is
this world a matriarchal society?
That's
kind of the feeling I'm getting.
Certain aspects of it are.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Because you got the white cloaks.
Yeah.
Definitely not matriarchal.
Yeah. Okay.
So it depends on the society, honestly.
Okay.
So after the Red Sisters, we get the first glimpse of the world. Because Moraine was looking down at this, and she was saying, oh, he's not the one. And just continues writing off like she doesn't care.
Okay. Yeah.
So we get the first glimpse of this ruined world.
Yeah, and you had to point out what I was seeing.
Yep. those weren't mountain upthrusts in the valley. Those were skyscrapers.
Yeah, skyscrapers as basically ancient ruins. Because you asked, like, what does that look like? And I'm like, technically it looks like Old Valyria, which is the ancient ruins in Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
So I was half right, ancient ruins.
Yep.
But...
And they were. It was one of those growth-covered skyscrapers.
Yep.
Basically, how did civilization backslide that far? Yeah. Where they're down to horse and carriage.
Yeah, I know.
Nukes. The book readers will know.
Oh, okay.
It's the whole breaking of the world.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured that had something to do with it, but...
Okay, so... After that, we meet our wisdom and Egwene. She's going through her woman's circle rite of passage. Basically, she's going into womanhood. Now, I don't remember her being thrown into the river as a rite of passage in the book.
Okay.
I honestly don't remember that happening at all.
Yeah, because it's just like she just gets shoved into this river, and I was just sitting there like, what?
Yeah, I don't think that really happened in the river, in the books. I can't for sure remember.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now we meet Rand and his dad talking about the past and going to town.
Yeah, and Rand was wearing this, like, sweater that was, like, really, really fuzzy sweater that was seriously distracting for me.
Yeah, it's a hand-knitted thing.
Yeah, it just really stood out. I was just like, okay. And I thought you said that Rand was the father for a moment, so...
No, that's Rand. I said that's Rand.
And his dad. I figured that out eventually. But I thought it was, you know, Rand is his dad. And so I was like, my notes basically say fuzzy sweater dude for half the episode.
Okay, Rand is now the fuzzy sweater dude.
Fuzzy sweater dude, yes.
Okay. One of the aspects I don't like about this scene is that in the books, during his travel to town, Rand does have his bow and arrow knocked. And he turns around and he sees behind him one of the Eyeless, one of the Fates.
Okay.
And he's not able to tear his gaze away from him until he trips over a rock. And that's when he's able to break his gaze and turn around and get his dad's attention. But when he turns back around, the Fate's gone.
Okay.
Rand doesn't know what this thing is.
Okay.
He thinks he's just a traveler in a black cloak that was just there.
Okay.
Which already puts his father even more on edge because of a long winter.
Yeah.
Because this, in the books, winter is, it's springtime, and crops should be starting to come up, or they should be breaking ground for crops right now, but they can't because everything's still frozen.
Mm.
Because winter is holding on longer than normal.
Okay. Well, you start talking about a long winter in this show, people are going
to
be...
No, don't. This has nothing to do with Game of Thrones.
I know. Like, what I'm saying is people's brains will do that.
But no, this has nothing to do with Game of Thrones.
I know.
So, they get to the tavern. They meet Matt. Drinking and whatnot. And he... and then we see, obviously, Perrin there also, and we find that out.
Mm-hmm.
The way this went, it's also not part of the book.
Oh, okay.
What it was that Rand was unloading the cart, Matt snuck up, trying not to get spotted, telling Rand about a prank he pulled.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, Rand's dad spots him, or the tavern keeper spots him, can't remember which one, and puts him to work with Rand, unloading the casks.
Okay. I like Matt. He's my type of guy. So, that scruffy looking...
The trickster. That's who he is.
Yeah.
And then after you get done loading, they're able to get away and go meet Perrin or whatnot.
Okay.
So, Lan and Moraine show up at the tavern also.
Yep.
And this is where I basically lost it.
Yep.
Perrin's wife. What the fuck? Perrin does not have any wife. in these books, or in, at this time in the book.
Yeah. Okay.
It's no, no, no. There is no love interest of Perrin at this time.
Okay.
None. Perrin is basically described as a very muscular man, or young teen, or young man, basically.
Okay.
Blacksmith apprentice. He's, during their conversation about Beltane and the wrestling match, he doesn't want to do the wrestling because he's afraid he's going to hurt his opponent.
Yeah.
Because he's so strong. He's basically described as a gentle soul. He does not have a wife. He does not hate the axe because of the because he killed his wife with it.
Mm-hmm. In the battle frenzy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of comments have been made online about that, too. People not happy about... For various reasons, actually.
You're not happy because... That's next episode, though, isn't it? Or further along this episode?
No, this has to do with the wife, because they basically created her to kill her off.
Isn't that a different episode, though? Is that... Did he kill her in episode one or two?
One.
Okay. But we're not to that point yet.
Okay.
But either way. And Egwene and Rand do not have sex. No. The first couple of books, basically, he's pining for her. He wants her, but it's that bumbling romance.
Okay. And does she have any interest in him in the books?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But when she learns that she can be Azacidi, she wants to go do that.
Yeah.
Instead. But yeah, at the same time, she still wants Rand.
Okay.
But no, there is no sex.
Okay.
BS. I know, sex sells, right?
Yeah, that's basically what I said. I was like, sex sells, you can't...
Okay, so at this point we now see a fate, an eyeless one, a fate. He shows up. Oh, we see him, actually. Okay, now the Tinker shows up, Padden Fane. He's actually a pretty minor important character.
Okay.
Or a pretty important minor character. There's a whole big backstory on him further on in the books, but I don't know if they're actually going to get to it in the show. When Padden Fane shows up, he's there, the traveling tinker, the traveling salesman, basically. Sells stuff to small towns that they can't get easily.
Yeah.
He's also the newsmonger.
Okay.
He brings news about faraway places, what's going on. He brought news of the war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the books, once he started the war news and whatnot, the council took him into the inn and wanted to ask him questions and whatnot. And this is the other part. Where's the Gleeman? The Gleeman should have kicked out of the inn about that time and make his appearance.
Okay.
But no! Tom doesn't show up yet.
Okay.
Because he's kind of a... Not really minor, but not main character, but not an important character, but he's a very important supporting actor during Rand's... Or character with Rand's development.
Okay.
In the beginning stages.
Okay.
But yeah, whatever. Okay, so... After the Tinker shows up, we see our first signs of Trollocs.
Yeah.
The sheep killing.
Yeah, I was about to say that's when Lan finds all the dead cattle and whatnot, and I'm like, okay, is this like a ritual slaughter?
Trollocs kill for the fun of it. They kill for the pleasure of it.
Yeah, but they were all in like a complete circle type thing.
Actually, it wasn't a circle.
Oh, okay.
It was, you know, the yin yang symbol?
Oh, yeah.
It was half of that.
Okay.
Book readers kind of know what that means.
Okay.
It's basically one of the ancient symbols of the Azacidi.
Okay. Is it supposed to be that Ouroboros, that snake tail thing? Okay.
I said yin yang.
Okay. I just. You said half yin yang.
Yeah, so. half of one.
Ooh, okay.
So after we see the sheep killing, Rand and Dad go home. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. There's supposed to be an argument in town about Rand's dad wanting them to go home before Beltane night.
Okay.
But Rand's dad was on edge because of the mysterious man that he'd seen, or that Rand possibly saw, and just stuff being hard right now, and the wolves and whatnot.
Okay. So I got a question. Beltane, is that any relation to the pagan holiday?
More than likely, because this is a spring rite.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that, if it was a pagan thing. So.
Well, I don't know if they call it pagan in this show.
Okay. Well,
there's no real religion in this show.
Okay.
There's no state religion that I found in the books.
Okay.
The books doesn't really talk about the Beltane party. After the argument, Rand and Dad go home, basically. And that's where it focuses on. The show, it flashes between the party and Rand.
Yeah.
The focus is on the attack, the Trolloc attack on the party, and then on Rand.
Okay.
The book doesn't mention anything about a Trolloc party in the Two Rivers until Rand actually gets from the farm back to the Two Rivers.
Okay.
There's not much to tell about a battle sequence. It's a battle sequence.
Yeah.
On the show wise, in the book, what it is that once they get home and start getting stuff set up for the night and put away, they put Bella up. Bella's the horse.
Okay.
Bella's kind of like, for the first like half of the book, or for the first book, Bella's kind of there. She's kind of somewhat important, I like to think.
Oh, well, yeah, your horse is pretty important, of course.
But anyways, his farmhouse is described as a two-story house.
Okay.
So when they go inside, Rand's dad goes upstairs, Rand's downstairs getting dinner ready, and he hears scraping coming from upstairs in his dad's room, and he knows it's the chest underneath his dad's bed that he's never moved before.
Mm.
He comes back downstairs. Rand's dad has a sword with him, with a heron on the scabbard.
Okay.
And his Rand gets all, you know, guys and swords. Or teenagers, actually, because he's a teenager. And swords.
What you guys don't see is the fact that we are surrounded by a whole bunch of swords that I have collected.
Yeah. But either
not
way.
Not him.
So Rand's all excited and wondering how his dad got it, where he got it, how much he paid for it, blah, blah, blah. Basically, his father said he got it from a merchant and he paid too much for it.
Yeah.
First part's a lie, second part is true.
Okay.
And then after a while, after a little bit fiddling around, I guess, they get attacked by the Trollocs.
Mm-hmm.
So he burst in. They get a pitcher of boiling water thrown at him as a quick distraction. Rand's dad's able to stall them so Rand can jump out the window. Later, Rand's dad joins him, but he's got a slight scratch on his ribs. Not a freaking hole in his shoulder.
Well, it looked more like a gash in his shoulder.
It started out...
Not a run through, but...
Well, it was initially started out as a run through, but halfway through the spike entering him, it got really wide, so it probably ripped himself open.
Okay. And one of the things I noticed about the Trollocs is that they seem to be kind of... Like, the one that attacked Rand and his dad, it looked more like a troll mixed with a werewolf.
Well, they're supposed to be humans with animal aspects. You got wolf ones that can smell real good.
Yeah.
You got hawk, bird or hawk ones that have eyesight.
Okay.
You got all different types.
Yeah, because I was about to mention, I saw one that almost looks like a mix between a troll and a boar. And
yeah.
So I was like, okay, so these are like trolls, but have other aspects of them from other like animals. And so I was just trying to figure
basically
that out. So
basically. But he was just, after him and his father reunite, that little scratch ends up being poison because of the Trolloc blade.
Mm-hmm.
Trolloc blade's just a scratch can kill you because of the poison that from where they're forged at, off the side of the Mounts of Doom, or the Forges of the Mountain, whatever the mountain was called again. Blah, blah,
Mount
blah.
Doom is Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, whatever. I forget what the name was. So he ends up taking his father's swords, sneaking back into the farm, making sure there's no Trollocs around, ends up killing one because he found one playing possum inside the house, actually.
Okay.
And Trolloc actually spoke to him, and which actually kind of surprised Lan later on when he told him about it. Because Trollocs don't speak to people, they kill them.
I thought they were basically going to be controlled by the Eyeless.
Oh, they kind of are.
So, yeah.
Because they're scared of the Eyeless.
Okay.
The Fates. But they can act independently.
Okay.
So, Rand goes to the barn, hacks a seasoned piece of oak axle off the cart that was destroyed, finds out his sword is still really, really sharp enough to shave with, basically, after cutting through that hardwood. So he ends up taking his dad through the woods, not on the tracks, so that way he can avoid Trollocs that are still on the road.
Yeah.
Now, the important part of that scene was that freaking his dad was having a fever dream and was mumbling in delirium, basically, about how he found a babe on the side of a mountain, and him mumbling about how even they give birth in the midst of battle.
Okay.
And that he would take him home, and that his wife would be happy and help raise the child. And he was mumbling how Rand would be a good name for the babe.
Okay.
And that's our first real hint that he is not, he's an outsider compared to the Two Rivers.
Yeah.
Because Two Rivers are described as dark-haired, dark-eyed people.
Yeah, and they seem to actually be keeping that in the show.
Yeah, and Rand is red-haired with light eyes.
Yep.
Or gray eyes in this case. So, and it was actually Lan in the books who warned of the pending attack in the books. He comes running down the stairs yelling about Trollocs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they basically attacked.
Okay.
What else is going on here? Rand does make it back in the books, blah, blah, blah. But in the show, he ends up on the back of Bella.
Okay.
Which is BS. Because and this is that whole fever thing. And one of the things, once they get there, he gets healed, or Rand's dad gets healed and whatnot. The book healing is much different when they show on here. The book healing is basically described as being doused with a bucket of cold water. All the shivering, gasping, and whatnot.
Yeah, I don't see how that would work. Because
the healing comes from inside the victim, basically.
Yeah, but...
Or the wounded person.
Yeah.
Not from the Azacidi.
Okay. But you have to be doused by...
No, the feel is like...
Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
What'd you think I said?
Healing was basically a...
Like being doused.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes much more sense now.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. So, go through, we find out that Perrin kills his wife.
Yes, in the heat of battle.
Mm-hmm.
With the piggy Trolloc.
I know, it's just... Perrin's not supposed to have a love interest until he starts becoming basically a wolf brother.
Okay. And that's what internet got upset about, was they created this character just to be killed off.
No. They should be pissed off that they created this character to begin with. Perrin does not have a wife.
People are upset for various reasons.
I don't care that they create a character to kill him off. They do that all the time. Look at the red shirts in Star Trek. You don't see them getting upset about that. They just laugh.
Yeah, because that was back in the 60s.
But still. And the tavern was not destroyed. Okay. They had some fire damage, I think, back in the kitchen where they tried to start something. I can't remember I think it was that. But it wasn't destroyed by Moraine pulling bricks out to throw it at Trollocs.
Okay.
Because that's where Rand in the books took his dad at to wait for healing or something.
Okay.
Because first he tried the wisdom, but she couldn't help him, and then he had to track down Moraine.
Yeah.
It's just... Because in the book, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm still wondering what the fuck happened to Tom. The Gleeman.
And then also that one wisdom to Nave got taken by a Trolloc.
Yeah, that didn't happen either. That's BS.
I think she's going to show back up.
Oh, everyone knows she does.
Yeah.
But the way they have her doing that is, no. Because... In the show, because of that, she wants all five of them. The three men, Matt, Rand, Perrin, and Egwene. Was that it? Yeah. To leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because she believes that one of them is the Dragon Reborn. The thing is that she said that in front of the whole town. That was a big no-no then, because everyone was scared and feared the dragon being reborn and wanted to kill him before that happened, and before another breaking happened.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, she just put him underneath a death sentence from that whole village. Yeah.
And then they leave, like, what, friends and family behind where they could be, you know, held for exchange of life?
It's just a bunch of BS, because after his dad was killed that morning when he got into town,
yeah,
he was pulled aside by Moraine Lan, or whatever it was, and told that they had to leave that night, along with Matt and other men of his age, those three, because of the threat that it was going to happen, the attack was going to happen again. And so they're sneaking around almost all day trying to get stuff ready to go to leave. Not the wisdom. Egwene sees whoever it was sneaking around. So, anyways, had to pause real quick. We were talking about Egwene in the book catching these guys sneaking around and ends up following them in the stable where she confronts them before they leave. And Tom also joins them at that time because he was up in the stable loft. So it was Tom, Egwene, three boys, Maureen, and Land, who left in the middle of the night, basically.
Okay.
There was no Trolloc invasion coming down the mountainside.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, well. But still, the wisdom was not captured. They were trying to avoid her, too.
Okay.
For their sneaking around. That's about it for that I got of my rant. Still.
Your episode 1 rant?
Yes. Freaking Perrin.
Shall we go on to episode 2?
No. Call it this one. Do another one for the next one.
Okay.
Because there's going to be a lot of stuff going on, and it's just... freaking parents' wife. Stupid people.
So, I like it so far, but I'm coming at it from a point of view of someone who, you know, I have not read the books. So, believe me, I'll go on my rants when Vampire Chronicles comes out. So,
and I'll be going, whatever.
But I also understand how things need to change for the times and stuff like that.
Mm. Oh, they also never mention how Rand, Perrin, and Matt are Tavern.
Are what?
Tavern.
Tavern?
Yeah. Basically, they affect the pattern.
Oh, okay.
The pattern of the world basically around them. And they're basically like whirlpools in a pattern where it sucks in odds and ends and whatnot. Or it's people that they need, or suck in evil toward them faster.
Okay.
And whatnot. And the show is basically hinting at that not only does Moraine think Rand, Perrin, and Matt are, but also Egwene is.
Okay.
And the wisdom.
Nynaeve?
Yeah, sure. I can never even say her name in my own book. I just recognize the spelling. But yeah, I guess they're implying that all five of them are Tavern, and Moraine doesn't know.
Okay.
Which one is the actual dragon between the five of them?
Okay.
But the books are say that Rand, Perrin, and Matt are the Tavern. She knows that those three are Tavern, and one of them is the dragon.
Okay. And the sigil that they use for the show, that I kind of mentioned earlier, is that Ouroboros.
Yeah, I know.
That snake eating its own tail. And that basically means eternity and renewal and stuff like that. It is an ancient Egyptian, ancient Greece. It's one of the oldest known symbols to humanity, actually. So, and that's something I learned because they use that for the TV show Millennium as well. So, and that's where I really learned about the Ouroboros and meaning and whatnot of it. So.
Okay. So, yeah, we're going to call it with this one.
Okay.
You guys have fun. Come back for next episode.
Yep.